In a frail with me today is Eden Sassoon. You may recognize the name. She is the daughter of legendary hairstylist Vidal Sassoon. But you are very successful on your own.
Thank you. I do my best.
And you have 7 years sober.
I do in December.
Cool. So thanks for talking with me.
Are you kidding?
That.
Thank you for having me.
What was the journey like for you with drinking and drugs?
No drugs.
Ever?
Drinking.
Or just
like a...
Here and there?
Just here and there for fun.
Right.
But watching my mom is a recovering alcoholic grow up, it was always part of my life, daily life. And my sister overdosed. So that was the beginning of it all. And then around 15, I had my first drink. Well, that one drink turned into a night full of drinks. I'm like, whoa, what is this? This is a whole new girl. This kind of is fun. And we went out, and a best friend of mine, Alex Avant, came up and said, Eden, what's going on? What are you doing? You're going to be just like your sister.
Wait, so was your sister much older than you?
5 years.
Okay, but you hadn't used until...
I was 15. For me, that's pretty young. If my daughter was out drinking at 15, which who knows, she might be. God forbid. But that was young for me, watching my mom and my sister, you know. And then having him say that just was like a knife. Like, oh my God, at this point in this night, he's absolutely right. And what if I am like her?
But that didn't stop you.
No. I couldn't. I mean, that girl was fun. I was like, wait a minute.
Had you been shy? Because that was my story. I was really shy. And then all of a sudden, alcohol made me this like outgoing, funny person. And everyone was laughing.
Right? I was shy. Very shy. My father always used to say, like, I would hide behind his leg. And I was so quiet and shy to the teachers. And I'd stand back. And yet I was sort of shy, but in the right way, the center of attention. Mm-hmm. So it was this kind of give and take, but that fire in me didn't come out until the alcohol was in there. And she was fun, and she would talk to people she normally wouldn't, or she would flirt with guys because she was pretty enough and she was thin enough. Everything was great. I mean, I had no problems.
Did you deal with bullying at all?
Against myself, or with... I was the one who was against bullying.
No, I know. Because, like, one of the reasons I drank was because I was really bullied, so... I was numbing the pain.
Yeah.
Were you numbing the pain of anything?
I was numbing, of course. Growing up in my family, I had to be more than just Eden. And so if I wasn't pushing, and I still deal with that, obviously, but it was like, okay, the trainer's going to get you up out of bed, let's go. You know, my father consistently just was like, go, do more, do good in school, da-da-da-da. I'm like, So... as much as I love him and he's an incredible man and he did what he knew, that's a form of bullying. I wasn't just able to be myself because as a parent, he wanted what's best for me. And what was best for me isn't the same as, you know, how he did it.
Was he concerned about what the public thought? Like, did everything have to look perfect?
Yes and no, because he was very humble. But again, he came from nothing and worked his way to a certain, you know, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say that, you know, when he passed away in 2012, I said, Dad, you know, you impact hundreds of thousands of million people. You know, you're suffering with leukemia. How many people out there do you think have the same thing that look to you for so much empowerment? You're their biggest influence, and you're not going to share this with them? You're not going to maybe make their day a little better? Or it's okay, look at me, I can do this? And he wouldn't go out that way. Mm-hmm. And here I am, you know. But to me, it was really important.
Right.
Really, really important. So yes, I think maybe, you know, we all change in different generations. And maybe that's why I'm so out there. Mm-hmm. I so want to tell the truth. It's okay. This is how I am. And like, I texted you, do you mind if I come as myself? And you're like, Eden, wear what you want. Just because I want to be... just okay
authentic.
With me.
I love your authenticity, and I thank you for wanting to be open, although part of the appeal of asking you to come on was that I knew you were open about it. But what was, I had a 15-year using career, so what was the extent of your drinking before you got sober then?
15 years old to 39.
Okay.
But I, you know, give or take a couple times where I tried to get sober. And I always knew after the first year of getting sober, I got married sober.
Really?
Yeah. And I knew getting married sober, I knew walking down that aisle that this wasn't going to last. Mm. I was like, shit, I should have drank. Maybe. Kidding. But I got married sober and then had a 4-year, after I had the kids or my daughter, I started to drink again. I needed the relief. I needed something to escape because I wasn't happy. And it's still, at this point, taken me 7 years to find myself. Someone asked me recently, last night, why do you fight love? Because that's my biggest obstacle. And I said, I'm not fighting love. No one taught me to love. And I've used alcohol up until 7 years ago as a tool. And so for this amount of time, I've been learning to love myself. Mm-hmm. And now maybe I'm capable of loving someone else. But I know what I don't want. And I know what I want. Now it's stepping in it and learning that lesson. So it was interesting. Like, why do you fight love? I'm like, first of all, fuck you. And second of all, wait, I'm not. This is just all I've known.
Right. Well, what about your kids? Because how old were they? Well, 7 years ago then.
So my daughter's 14 now.
Did they know that you were drinking a lot back then?
My son, I would imagine somewhere subconsciously, they definitely knew. At the time when their dad and I got divorced, I went from one to one relationship where, of course, any good alcoholic is going to pick another. So that was the first relationship that lasted about 3 years. And then the second one was 2.5 years before my father was passed, and he was another good alcoholic. Just saving them seats, you know? I'll line up all my ex-boyfriends. I think because we are all energy, that even as a kid, you know. And if it's something that they might not consciously remember, at some point they might have to deal. But I'm so truthful with them and what I've gone through and my sister and my mom, and that if it comes up, you know what, let's look at this.
What was the turning point for you? Did you go to rehab? Was there intervention? Did you just
conclusion
yourself?
Well, I always knew again that I was going to go back and that I was an alcoholic. It was just a matter of when I wanted to stop this insanity. Mm-hmm. And I woke up December 5th and I was on the edge of my bed. Thank God I was dressed. I don't even know who got me there. And I just went into the closet and I started putting on my hiking clothes because I gotta exercise through it, drunk or not. And I heard my dad and what Jesus, like, because in my mind it was the robe and it was a man who looked talking about me and to me. And I just started crying and crying.
Was this right after he died?
This was 6 months.
Okay.
He passed in May and this was December. So...
And what did you hear?
I heard them, like, my dad was very stern. When it was real, he'd come at you. It was no joke. And so he it was it. Because when I would drink, I'd try to hide it from him. And when I get a little too drunk in his presence, mm-hmm. It was like that little girl hiding in the closet with food. That was how we maneuvered. It was it. They were talking. It was if my dad was angry and he was saying, you know what, she can do this. And I was like, oh my God, okay, I do it. I just have to go on the mountain. I need to hike. Like, I have to walk through this. But in the back of my mind, I knew that it was going to be, again, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and I could get relief mm-hmm. and stop this. And it didn't work out like that. And I got on the mountain, and this woman, sign, God, she beautiful, beautiful, beautiful experience. She's still in my life. Went down to the Country Mart. Nick Savalas. Nick. He's been sober umpteen amount of years. And I was like, oh my God, it's the second sign today. Well, third, if you look at my dad and Jesus talking. And I said, I'm ready. He's like, you're ready? I said, I'm ready. Like, I'm ready now. He's like, okay. I said, but tonight, what are we going to do? So I immediately had to call somebody to make it, like, accountable. Mm-hmm. I mean, who else? My dad wasn't alive. My mom's recovering, so it's not the same, you know, accountability in my mind at the time. So I called my kid's father. And I was like, tell me, that's it. I'm done. He's like, what are you talking about? Kind of like, you know, shoved it off. I have a meeting. I can't watch the kids tonight. And I'm like, I have to do this now. So he took me up to the hills and we did a little 2-week outpatient. I got into a meeting literally within the half hour. That was it. I was free. There was one night from December 5th, and it was around Christmas time, that I went to his sister's house, and I saw her. I saw me and all of her with the champagne flowing and the you know, the hostess of it all. And it was Eden. I'm watching Eden. She's drinking and she's getting drunk, and I started to panic. And part of me wanted to be that.
Right.
But I was that, and I don't want to be it again. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, so I'm going to, at the time I smoked, I'll go out and have a cigarette and walk away. And it was just like, stop. And Nick came out and talked to me, and I got through that night. And ever since, I've never, ever, by the grace of God and one day at a time,
desired that,
never
craved like that.
No. Thank God. And I think of it now, and I just get like that.
Right. You remember that feeling.
Sick feeling. Yeah.
And you had an interesting development in the past 7 years where the reality show Beverly Hills Housewives came to you. And forgive me, I have not watched those shows. And I did not see you
on it. I completely forgive you.
But I would imagine, knowing how TV works and them, the producers wanting to get some storyline around your sobriety, were they trying to, like, get you to relapse?
No. No, it was more as they knew that I could come in, and as it played out, I'm a strong, sober woman, and do what you need to do. I'm not going to do it with you. And guess what? You're going to wake up feeling like shit. I'm not. Like,
right.
I'm not like, oh, I can't say this, because I go in. And I go in. Sometimes people need to hear things that they don't want to hear. And I'm not afraid to do that. So they would kind of come in, and I was that woman, you know, with Kyle and her sister, and Kim had this problem, and everyone was sort of feeding around this problem of her drinking, and I was around her, so I'd pick up on all these things, and I kind of
give your two
psych 101 kind of get in there. Well, they took it and blew it out of the water.
Clip that they were going to use.
Like, oh, she's the crazy.
And wasn't there something where they picked up drugs, like your
Xanax,
vitamins or
that was Lisa's
like that?
Stuff, and I was kind of like, because they came over and we made smoothies. Because I'm not going to serve them alcohol at my house. I don't drink.
Right.
And so we did smoothies, and then they're like, "This is so much fun." I'm like, "Yeah, so you can have fun sober. Look at me." And then she's like, "Oh, I think I could put a Xanax." I'm like, oh, it's because I don't have a problem with pills. But, you know, in our world, you don't take anything. And so it got out there. Oh, Eden's doing this and that and this. And I'm like, oh, please.
Well, when you say don't have a problem with pills, do you mean take them as prescribed, or you're not going to take like 20 Xanax?
Oh, God, no. Right. No, I don't take Xanax. But my doctor, I have Klonopin. So we talked about it on the show. I'm like, yes, I'm on at night an small dose of Lexapro and Klonopin. And it's my doctor. And I see him the time, and we talk about it.
Right. You're fine if it's doctor prescribed.
Yes.
You take it as prescribed.
Yes. Or I don't, if I don't need it.
I think if you're like, yeah, I do pills, then
no.
Oh,
no.
Yeah,
no.
Take a bunch of
no.
Adderall.
I don't do
and Ambien and all of those things. I mean, because for me, Adderall, Ambien, and Xanax were a part of my drug of choice.
Right.
I mean, I would take
anything
just to get messed up.
I wish we knew each other back then. I'm kidding.
But it's interesting because, I mean, I like real moments of people now.
Right.
And a lot of the people, when I got sober, I realized they were not all that interesting in the first place.
No.
And it's really nice to be present with someone and know that they're listening to me, because they're not all chemicaled out. Like, I see people, you know, even that I work with, that are like in that just
numb space.
Well, they're just like spastic. Like, mm-hmm. they can't stay focused on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And or like you're talking to them and they're on their phone and
see, I can't, I'm with you. I can't do that.
That's one of the gifts of sobriety.
Yeah.
It really made you present. And then you have all these real moments and in turn get to enjoy them and remember them.
And in turn, unless, you know, we have our sober community, you don't have a lot of people in your life. They start to fall away, and
right.
a lot of them, and it's okay, but it gets lonely at times. Mm-hmm. And it's better to be alone than to be surrounded with people like that. And I won't do it.
Right.
I can't.
What about the LA dating scene.
Oh, you want to know?
I'm not trying to break any scoop here. I just know for 4 years I was a single mom and sober. And when I got divorced, I didn't put that into the equation. I was like, oh, wait, I forgot about the fact that I'm sober in the mix. Because so many people project, they just project that, oh, you're going to be this boring person.
I don't even care what they say. No, I don't. But I'll go in and it says on, you know, I'm on the apps and it says, I don't drink. And then they'll be like, oh, are you a friend of Bill's? And, oh, I mean, it hasn't been a bad thing.
That's
no,
good.
Because I think it's an issue if you make it an issue, and I don't make it an issue.
But, well, what about people who have problems?
Okay, so if, so I went to...
I noticed in my dating that people would hide. They'd always downplay. They'd be like, oh, I'm allergic. I don't drink.
Oh, like we...
And then you'd see, like, as time went on, you'd totally
like you
see
think
them
I'm
drinking.
A right.
They'd be drinking a lot.
No.
And, I mean, I wasn't judging. It's just like, it's. I just know long-term that's not going to...
No way.
If someone's an alcoholic enough.
Not even close. I think that if I go on a date and someone's on their second into their third drink, I know right then and there it's over. Because that's not the only night you do that. And that's not the only time we'll be going to dinner. And I went to a movie with a bunch of us and a friend, it's a friend, showed up, but it was a date. And he was in his second glass of wine at 6 o'clock on a Friday night. I'm like, dude, this is never going to work, but we can be friends.
Right.
That's not really going to happen either.
I think it is weird when you see like stiff people then loosen up with alcohol. But if they can do it with just two glasses, then they're a normie and that's fine. But it's the annoying factor is when everybody that you realize now, which I totally was before. 10 years ago, I was that one. Like I can't imagine how many nights I was like cross-eyed and like
I know, right? Me
all
too.
Over the place.
I have stories.
And I've seen videos of it, and it's not.
It's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. And I have so many good stories that one day, as we all do, that should really go down in the books. But let's go back to just being sober or what we deal with and friends that aren't sober. And so in the last week, I've had to go to bed at night having a friend say to me, just know until now, I've never given up. And I'm thinking to myself, don't do this. Don't do this, because if you're calling bluff right now, tomorrow morning, you're going to get my wrath in a way.
They've never given up.
Meaning they were saying, I'm out. Tonight's my night.
Oh, they were saying they were going to be done.
Yeah.
Quitting alcohol.
No. Killing themselves.
Oh. Okay.
And I'm thinking, how dare you? Sure enough, he completely escaped from everything, and I'm in bed, and I'm reaching out to his friends, and here I'm 46, and this friend of mine is 30 years old, and I'm thinking, this is happening? Okay, but I can't take it lightly and pretend it's not, because I've had a lot of people, you know, as we all have, overdose. And sure enough, no response, nothing. And in the morning, we were texting, and I said, you know what, someone get his address. I know where I dropped him off one night, but I don't remember the street. And I got it. I said, I'm on my way. So his friend said, I'll meet you there. We met, and they're not young, but they're young. And he comes, the friend of his is standing there, and he's shaking. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking, oh. And he's like, well, I opened the door, and he's in there, and he's sleeping. Long story short, I'm like, come on, let's go. Like, I got this. I know. Let's just get in there and hold space for him. And sure enough, you know, the rope was there, and he tried, and he tried,
oh,
and
wow.
He tried. And the mirror, the whole mirror was written, dear mom, dear this, dear da-da-da-da. And I'm like, this is real. This is happening.
And is that someone who had an issue with drugs and alcohol?
This is someone who, at the time,
okay.
and I think I even, as a friend, I called you and I was like, you know what? I think I have a newcomer coming with us.
Oh, okay.
So tell him that he's coming and we're going to fix this out. And so by the time we almost left the house, he's like, you know, I'm going to go home and da-da-da-da-da-da. And I knew at that point, this is my time to back off.
Right. Because people will only change if they want to, or if they're in dire need and it's just gotten so low.
Yep.
Would you say that your bottom was relatively high? I mean, I know that was the case for me.
For you?
I didn't lose my job or...
I was functioning.
And it sounds like with your dad's work mentality that you're a work hard, play hard person, which is the case in every profession. There are work.
You know,
hard,
it's funny that you say that, because when I see
functioning alcoholics,
when I see that and they write it and it's like, haha, funny, you're dating and being single. Like, you really think that's funny? I get you work hard, but why don't you do the play hard? What's your play mean? Because I know what my play meant, and now my play is totally different. And mm-hmm. it's great. You play like me, we're going to play. But you play like that, like, there's so much more to life than,
I know.
Than that. And they don't see it. So that work hard, right. play hard, I'm like, this guy has no idea yet.
Well, and that's part of why I wanted to do this show, too, to be able...
By the way, congratulations.
Thank you. It's, just to be able to share that there is more to life than when you're... I felt like I was living so unconsciously before. And now it's like I've woken up to this world I didn't even know existed. And so I want to spread the word as much as I can,
yeah.
about that.
I'm with you. Scream it from the rooftop. And that's
And you're able to have fun sober, because that's a lot of people's biggest issues. Like, oh, it's going to be so boring if I get sober.
More fun, I think. I mean, mm-hmm. a different kind of fun that you have to get used to. I mean, right. I know in the first year it was fun because you're meeting all your tribe and it's the pressure's on, but you're out there and you're going to meetings and you're learning a lot. And it's sort of this emotional roller coaster that you're going through. And then you kind of settle in and you're like, okay, I got this. Now, what does this mean? You know, and for me,
and
it was
the feelings hit you.
Yeah, it's just
you're like, I don't like these
right?
feelings. I never liked feelings to begin with.
Well, my thing is with love, you know. So immediately that even day, I was like, how am I going to do any of this sober? Mm-hmm. How am I going to be
have sex
sexual?
Sober.
Yes, kiss sober. How am I going to do any of this? And I'll tell you, that's so easy and more amazing than ever,
yes,
imaginable.
Agreed.
Yeah,
sober sex is so much better.
My God, just the breath, just like being present.
Right.
Yeah.
Being present. Although if it's bad, that is also
yeah. Then you can check out.
A question I'm sure you get a lot is, how do you know if you have a problem? So for someone who might be sober curious, what's your answer to that?
Because you know. Because
yes,
you know.
If you're asking that question.
Right.
Likely,
because we never
thought about
think
it.
Something unless it's really sort of present in us. And then you're questioning yourself, and underlying mm-hmm. that is the truth. So if you get out of here and you tap into here, your answer is right there.
Yeah, your gut, you probably already know. Well, then what is your first piece of advice for someone? Because I know on Instagram, almost daily,
I'm with you.
People are like,
what do I do? Where do I go?
Yeah. Yes, how do I stop? So what do you say to that?
So today, my girlfriend on the way here, she's going through it. I'm like, oh, finally. And she's like, can you help? I said, absolutely. Do you want to go to a meeting? Yes. I said, are you willing and ready to put in the work? I'm scared. Great. Mm-hmm. But what lies beyond that is your freedom and your health and your sanity. And then she kind of asks, and so the first thing I think that, you know, is where are they with it? And I kind of asked a key few questions mm-hmm. just to open them up. And I'm here. I'm 100% here.
Right.
But if you're willing, then get to a meeting now. Get to other people who will understand where you're at, because I can't do it for you. Only you can do it. And if you really want it, you're going to go after it.
Have you had this experience, though, where friends have come to you for help, but then haven't followed through on it, and then they get weird about seeing you again? I've dealt with that, and it sucks. So if someone really close to me, you know, is asking me for help, I'm like, listen, I want you to know, like, I will
no matter what,
drinking or not, because my friendship with you is very important.
Yeah.
Like, I would hate for you to be scared to talk to me if you don't end up doing it.
And that's a good point, because this girl and this gentleman I'm talking about is, they're my friends in a way, but the friendship that we really like cultivated, like, I don't do that anymore. So
right.
I put them here. And when they're around, they're around, and they know who's the firstest person to reach out for them when they're in right. trouble. And I'll help. But when you're ready, you're going to be ready with or without me. You're going to dive in head first.
That is true.
And I don't judge.
And
I don't
totally
judge.
Normal to not want to do it. Everyone's reaction. Nobody actually wants to get sober or stop drinking.
You know what? The minute it clicked, and the minute I saw Nick, and it was my third sign, I was like, I'm ready. And I don't have to do this again. And hold on, wait. I take an antidepressant because I'm naturally have less serotonin in my brain, so I'm already a little bit depressed, and yet I'm feeding myself, which gives me a little bit of relief for a good 10, 15 minutes, a depressant. Right. Like the science involved in this, like, who am I? It's crazy.
I know. I know. Well, I take Celexa, so I'm with you.
I mean, you know what?
I don't understand. Like, if you're,
it's like a diabetic. If you need the insulin, you need the insulin.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yes. Well, I really, really appreciate you.
I appreciate
keeping
you.
It
I'm
real with me.
I love it.
Your story will help people for sure.
I'm always here. Please know that. Yes. I am always here to reach out to.
Where can people find you on Instagram? Just at
Eden Sassoon. Yeah. And I respond to everybody. Always.
Yeah. Go take a Pilates class.
I know that too,
Pilates
right?
Studios.
Get sober and I'll kick your ass.
All right. Eden, you're awesome. Thanks so much. Sorry. Thanks for keeping it real.
Thank you so much for listening to Keeping It Freel, Conversations on Recovery, which is produced by KTLA and EverTalk TV. We would love for you to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And to see video versions of my interviews, head to ktla.com/keepingitfreel. Find me on all of my social media at Courtney Freel. Have a great day.